This week, the United States Congress and President Bush took extraordinary steps in the case of Terri Schiavo. Congress passed and the president signed legislation allowing the federal courts to review the matter. NPR's Don Gagne, who covers the White House, and congressional reporter Andrea Seabrook have teamed up for this look back at the political moves of the past week and their potential consequences.
After years of struggle in Florida, Terri Schiavo's case came to Washington on March 8th. Anti-abortion activists and some religious groups were putting considerable pressure on conservatives, and by last Thursday, House and Senate leaders had rushed through bills. But there were important differences between the two chambers, and negotiations continued.
But at this point at the White House, there was no similar sense of urgency. A search of White House transcripts and briefings shows that the name Schiavo hadn't come up all year until last Thursday, St. Patrick's Day. At his daily briefing, Press Secretary Scott McClellan did address the issue, but only when asked.
The president believes that our society and our laws and our courts ought to be on the side of presumption in favor of life. And we appreciate the efforts by members of Congress.
Friday morning, congressional Republicans changed their strategy. Instead of trying for a bill, they issued subpoenas for Terri Schiavo to appear alive before a House committee. But the Florida judge presiding over the case rejected the attempt. Terri Schiavo's feeding tube was disconnected at 1:45 Friday afternoon. By that time, leaders had sent most of the House and Senate home for Easter break.
On that day 1 week ago, the president was actually in Florida for events in Pensacola and Orlando. But he was there to talk about Social Security. He was joined by his brother Jeb, another key player in the push to keep Schiavo alive.
Speaking about brothers and great governors, he's doing a fabulous job for Florida. He's a.
But Mr. Bush made no mention of Schiavo at either Florida event, even though his Orlando speech began 15 minutes after her feeding tube was removed. That afternoon, he headed to his Crawford, Texas ranch.
Back in Washington, Saturday morning, the pressure was still building. Terri Schiavo's brother, Bobby Schindler, went office to office on Capitol Hill, lobbying Republican leaders and anyone else who was still in town. The breakthrough came Saturday afternoon when the House and Senate leadership announced they had a compromise. Congress was called back to Washington, and Republican leaders sent word to President Bush.
That prompted a surprise announcement from the Bush ranch. The president, who cherishes every moment he spends in Crawford, would be returning to Washington on Sunday more than a week early. Aides say he did not consult with his chief political advisor, Karl Rove, adding that the president felt precious hours would be wasted if he waited for the newly passed bill to be flown to him in Texas for his signature.
Sunday morning, many lawmakers went to church first thing, celebrating Palm Sunday before heading for the Capitol. In the House, Democrats planned a last-minute challenge to the bill, drawing a scathing attack from House Majority Leader Tom DeLay. In a press conference, DeLay counted the meals, he said, Democrats were costing Terri Schiavo.
Every hour counts, and time is not on Terri Schiavo's side.
Sunday afternoon, just after 4 p.m., the Marine helicopter carrying the president landed on the south lawn of the White House.
News networks went live with Tom DeLay's angry pleas, alongside video footage of Schiavo in her hospice bed. That applied the necessary pressure, producing what DeLay called the Palm Sunday Compromise. Democrats agreed to only a few hours of debate late Sunday night. In that debate, Florida's Debbie Wasserman Schultz said politicians shouldn't even be involved.
We are not doctors. We are not medical experts. We're not bioethicists. We are members of Congress.
In the end, though, many Democrats joined Republicans, and the bill passed Congress at 45 minutes past midnight Monday morning. It was immediately shuttled to the White House.
An aide woke the president. Mr. Bush emerged from his bedroom and, standing in the hallway of the second-floor residence of the White House, signed the bill into law at 1:11 a.m. From that moment on, it was in the hands of the courts.
Almost immediately, there were serious questions from both the left and the right about what Washington politicians had done. Opinion polls showed the public, too, had serious misgivings. And so, why did Congress and the president feel so compelled to intervene?
The White House answer is that a life was at stake. Even so, the president's actions may also have been part of a larger political calculation aimed at sending a strong message to an extremely important segment of his political base— religious conservatives. John Green is a professor at the University of Akron who specializes in religion and politics.
A part of it is, of course, Terri Schiavo herself, who has become a very important symbol for social issue conservatives, but also the fact that the president flew back on the weekend to the White House to sign the bill just underscores his commitment to this issue.
Ann Green says it's quite likely that any displeasure over this issue will soon fade for most Americans, while the goodwill Mr. Bush earns among social conservatives will last and could pay long-term dividends.
In Congress, too, some conservatives pleased their constituents by jumping into the Schiavo case. But other Republicans, especially those who've stood for strictly limiting the federal government and keeping laws out of individuals' lives, may be rethinking their votes on the Schiavo bill. Connecticut Republican Chris Shays voted against it and says bringing it before Congress was a serious misstep by his party's leaders.
There were a lot of members who voted for the bill but believe it should never have been before us but didn't want to vote no.
And Shays says all the court decisions this week have been a rebuke to Congress for overstepping its bounds.
As for President Bush, the fact that the courts did not back his position on Schiavo could actually be better for him politically. Again, John Green.
If the president and his allies had gotten their wish and the Supreme Court had accepted the case and rendered a decision, perhaps a messy, complicated decision, then this issue would have gone beyond just Terri Schiavo and would become a very major controversy.
And in Congress, there may be consequences leaders hadn't foreseen. Conservative activist and former Republican Congressman Bob Barr says it may not be any one party or politician that suffers, but the Congress as a whole in the eyes of the public.
I think people will look at that and they'll say, well, this is typical Congress. It's just about politics. So I think it will have ramifications by causing people's confidence in the Congress to be diminished.
And that comes at a time when Americans' approval of Congress is already at its lowest point since Mr. Bush took the White House.
There is another risk for the president in all of this. He has a limited time to accomplish things in his second term before being labeled a lame duck. Issues like this one can eat up valuable time that could be spent on other priorities. Additionally, as Mr. Bush focuses more on his domestic agenda this term, the Schiavo case is a reminder that there are significant divisions within his own party. Don Gagne.
And Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, Washington.